This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Welcome to Drag Her. Oh, that lovely theme song you just heard is by Twin Kids, an incredibly talented queer pop group. Have you heard? Well, before I even ask, I need to introduce our amazing, lovely co-host today. You know him from everything on TV. He's a joy, a treat, and a truly a diamond. I don't even want to say in the rough, but I'll say diamond in the rough because that's interesting. Keep it going. For Jeffrey Boyer Chapman.
Hi.
Hey, honey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm so, so spectacular. Thank you so much for having me. It's so funny how people ask me that all the time. That was the first question that T.S. Madison asked me when I did her show, Let Me Pick You Up.
Yeah, it's because you're hot and people are like...
Oh, that's sweet of you.
It's just like you're hot, and which obviously is also a source of annoyance for you, as you've talked about
in the
past.
We can talk about that in a minute, but I do want to answer this question.
Please.
Why I think I'm so nice. So I think partly, as we were just talking about with your lovely producer, sound engineer, it's because I'm Canadian.
That's it.
Born and raised. I'm a dual citizen now. I just got my American citizenship, as we were talking about earlier
Oh, and that is fucking cool.
I feel like people are generally kinder in Canada. Yeah. I think there's a certain level of naivete and niceness. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of exposed to less like of the harsh dangers of the world. The gun laws make a big difference. Gay marriage rights, women's rights, everything's just a little bit more liberal.
The culture is really different.
Yeah. And then also, I feel like growing up in such a small town, I was always such an other. I was like the only queer person, only identifiably queer person, only visible queer person of color. And so people would come for me. You know, I was kind of a target at all times. So I realized really early on that the nicer I was to people, the kinder I was, the less, ammo it gave them or less reason it gave them to be unnecessarily cruel. And it just kind of became like second nature. It's just who I am now.
I'm like the exact same way.
Because you're so nice.
I'm really nice.
You're so nice.
And like, I ask myself the question, I'm like, is this, I mean, whatever, even if it's selfishly motivated, I think growing up, I was like such an easy bullyable person for brownness and queerness and et cetera in North Carolina.
Yeah.
That there was an age where I was just like, I think in late high school, I remember there was this moment where at least I felt that like people are starting to mature in a way where they're like, wait, we have to treat people like people.
Yeah.
And I remember that moment changing and in that moment being like, I'm going to be so nice to people because I need friends. And like,
oh.
But it's also just a programming thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, some people are just programmed a little bit more. I just happen to be programmed a little bit sweeter and a little bit gentler.
I think so, too. I mean, I'm a very sensitive human being.
Oh, me too.
So I would never, ever want to make somebody else feel any way that I would not want to feel myself. Like, it's very simple. It's like a very simple universal truth. Like, treat people the way you want to be treated, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I err on the side of almost too gentle, where people are like, what do you want?
I learned, honey. I learned, because I was such a, like, the super, super sweet, you know, kind of naive person my whole life growing up in Canada. And then I moved to New York because I knew that I needed to have that, like, harshness. Are we that? We can swear on here, can't we?
Okay. Yeah.
I needed to get that cunt
in
me, honey. I needed to.
Jeffrey.
I needed to learn to be a little bit more cunty and stand up for myself because I was becoming a doormat. People were just kind of walking all over me because they really did mistake my kindness for weakness.
It's a huge thing I had to learn as well. And this is so lame, but I'm going to say this out loud.
Say it.
There was this weird thing. Like, I did improv and I came up in the improv comedy world.
Yeah.
And like, there's this moment. Well, one of the secret cool things about improv is that, like, your improv note is your life note. And I was getting this note of, like, you're too polite in scenes. Why are you being polite? Why are you not asking for what you want? And I was like, oh, shit.
Wow.
That's because that's how I behave in the real world.
Well, that's funny because the first time we met was during an improv evening at UCB.
Yes,
and you were bitch. No,
oh my God, you were such a bitch. You were a guest judge on the UCB Drag Race.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was the latest I've stayed up in years.
Yes.
It started at midnight, right?
Starts at midnight.
Gosh,
you were amazing.
Thanks, honey.
You were a gag.
It was so much fun. Speaking of gags, remember that octopus that was thrown onto the table?
Yes.
An actual dead octopus thrown onto a table in front of us.
It was awful and amazing.
It
was one of those gags. It was a real gag and a life gag.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to also ask you. So I of course just listened to your What's the Tea. You're so awesome and lovely in it.
Thank you.
I wanted to honor you. I got you a little treat.
You almost made me cry with this, Mano. It was so, so beautiful. Do you want to tell the kids what it is, or should I?
No, you can or cannot. It's whatever.
No,
it's just a beautiful little candle.
I'm an open book. It's a gorgeous candle. It's not just a candle. It's a candle from House of Intuition, which is like a super hippy-dippy spiritual shop here in LA. But it's an intention candle. So you got me the rebirth candle. And when with these candles, you light them with an intention. You sit with a meditation and you have a very clear intention. And then you meditate over it and you leave it burning for 3 days or however long it takes to burn all the way down. And then at the bottom, do you know
this? Fire hazard.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And then at the bottom of the candle are three little crystals that have your intention infused into them. And then you carry those crystals on you for protection.
What would you say to me? Because I bought a candle for myself.
What kind did you get?
Success,
yes,
darling.
Honey. Opulence. You own everything.
Oh my God. They should have a queer line.
Yes.
The House of Intuition needs a queer line where it's just
like. You need to edit this
like,
out so that you can start that queer line of candles. Don't go giving away your secrets.
Where it's just like. Opulence, extravaganza.
Yes, I love it.
Fierce.
I love it so much. Devastating, honey. Touch all of this.
Touch all of this
honey.
Would be an amazing one.
Overgrown orangutan, sweetie.
You'll never be glamour. I don't know who's lighting that one, but someone is. For me, because I'm a skeptic, I bought myself one.
Yeah.
What do you, like, you don't have to convert me, but just like, what would you say to me, someone who's an excited skeptic?
That energy is real and intentions are real and life is but a dream. And that sounds so, so hippy dippy, but I so truly believe in intention setting and like creating, the desired outcome of what you want in life. I talk about this all the time. And I was talking about it with Rue and Michelle on What's the Tea? It's like life is like kind of like a GPS system. It's like when you get in your car, the car's not going to tell you, you're not going to know where to go unless you put in the end destination. Mm-hmm. So it's all about intention setting, like knowing where you want to go and like very specifically visualizing what that's going to look like, what that's going to feel like, and somehow through the twists and turns of life, you will be led to that place. So that's what it's all about. I mean, your intention is success.
Yeah.
So you just have to like get really clear about what that looks like and what that feels like for you.
Yes.
Right? Like, is it
I have
money?
An idea.
Is it wealth? Is it travel? Is it a beautiful home?
It's a mixture of money and working.
Okay.
Because I've been thinking about it. It's like, I want to work. I want money,
yes,
but I want to work because I enjoy that just engagement and invalidation. However, to another point you talked about on that podcast, though, like that I loved what you guys were talking about of like, if when, you know, when it's real for you, it's real for everyone else. Like you kind of talked a lot about being like you were like, why am I not feeling amazing even though amazing things are happening
right.
to me?
Yep, yep.
And you kind of talked about
the
like,
world's definition
I
of
need,
success.
It has to be real for you.
Totally.
And that's something I need to unlock.
For me, it took me a really long time to get it, that it can't come from an ego-driven place. It has to come from a very soulful, intention-driven place. Because I feel like, I can't remember who said this quote, but it's something along the lines of like, success without like, you know, without integrity is like the highest form of failure, essentially. You know, like you can be successful based on the world's definition, wealth, fame, celebrity, all of those things. But if you're selling your soul in the process, then how successful are we really?
Ooh, that's interesting.
And it's never just like one. This is what I've learned over the past couple of years being around some very interesting people, is that it's never like one foul swoop that you're selling your soul. It's like just little choices we make every single day that one day you'll wake up and be like, oops, where'd it go? Soulless.
Yeah. And I am so fucking blessed. And there's so many cool things happening in my life. And I do want this other job that's in my brain. But like, I also am trying to be honest with myself. There's a little honest voice in the back of the brain going like, you know that once you get that, you're just going to be obsessed with what the next thing is.
That's life though.
Yeah.
That's life. And I feel like that's something that we just, like, we're constantly creating and we're constantly calling new things in. So yes, of course, I think people like, I don't know if people ask you this, but whenever I achieve like really cool career highs, whatever it may be, like booking a cool job or whatever, people are like, can you believe that happened? They ask me that. And I'm like, yeah, I can believe it because they're like, I worked for it.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted. I set my sights on it. I had the intention and I've worked towards it and now I'm here and now I've got it. Cool. Let's like make the most of it and move on to the next thing. Right.
Yeah.
We're constantly creating. There's nothing. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling that way. That you're always wanting
hungry.
More. You're
a hungry
bottom.
Bitch.
You're Veruca Salt, honey.
I'm Veruca
Salt.
Want
it now.
If only I were a hungrier bottom. I'm a very satiable bottom.
Well, you know.
I'm like, I'm just like a few hors d'oeuvres and I'm, I mean, if
satisfied.
I've been, this is filthy, but if honestly, if I've been bottoming for like, I think a bottoming session should never be longer than an episode of a sitcom.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
22 minutes, darling. Yeah. Okay. So we are going to talk more about our experience with toxic gay dating.
Ooh.
But we're going to talk about it a little later in the episode because there's a perfect little moment where it comes up.
Okay.
For now, we'll dig right into the episode. What do you say, JBC?
Let's do it.
Hey. Okay. So JBC. Do people call you that?
All the time. My closest friends call me JBC.
Well, what do you feel about this season in general of All Star Season 1?
I am a convert because I didn't discover All Star Season 1 until after I had already watched All Star Season 2.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, I mean,
that's a high.
It is a tough bar to, you know,
it's probably the best season of Drag Race, period.
It truly is. Yeah. Just anything with Alyssa Edwards. Gimme.
Oh.
But I really love it. I mean, it's you know, it's obviously the structure is different than what people are used to or want, pairing up all of the contestants. But the cast of this season
is
sickening.
So good.
It is so fantastic. Give me some Manila and some Latrice, honey.
All of
and
them.
Some,
Nina.
All of them.
Tammy, Jada.
Yes.
I also love that they're bringing back girls from the season.
I agree because they deserve it.
They deserve
it, honey. Yes.
And I'm like, we want to see what we want to see.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you already ate Lucky Charms. It's like, yeah, but Lucky Charms.
Exactly.
Is
we're delicious.
Fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it too. And something that is helping me enjoy All Stars more now is that, like, I'm starting to think of every little season like its own weird Star Wars prequel.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I feel like every little season is its own weird movie. It has the characters you love from the original series.
Yeah.
But everyone is its own journey. Don't compare it to the original show.
Yes.
Enjoy it for what it is.
Yes.
We brought back Jar Jar Binks. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Because everybody wants more Jar Jar.
It's a prequel. So funny. So they had like reverse plastic surgery?
Wait, it's honestly, oh my God, it is like a prequel because it's like, wait, this looks too good.
Yeah.
Like, why are the creatures all shiny? I remember them being thin-lipped and very Medi-Cal looking. Now they got their own private insurance. This is crazy.
I mean, incredible.
So, in this episode, we're back in the workroom after Nina and Tammy have gone sad. And that we just had that lip sync with Tammy and Latrice.
I love
they
me
both
some Tammy.
Killed it.
Yeah, they really did.
Have you met Tammy Brown?
I haven't. I've seen her at mm-hmm. DragCon. Mm-hmm. But that's the last time I saw you, wasn't it? Was that DragCon?
Yeah, it was at DragCon.
That's so funny. No, I haven't. Have you met her?
No. Can't wait to. I see her in my dreams. I see her in the sky like Mufasa.
That's so funny. I had a dream about Charlize Theron last night. And I woke up and it was the first thing I said to my boyfriend this morning. I was like, I just had a dream about Charlize Theron.
Was it sensual or just like, hey, girl?
No, it was just like hanging out, like having lunch, chilling.
Oh, my God, you're visualizing.
Exactly.
Seriously, if you're not in a Marvel movie, like, in the next 4 years, what's happening? I'm putting it out there.
Thank you. Queer black superhero.
Great. There's that. They talk about the emergency button, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. Weird question. Is there a situation in your life where you would use that shemergency button?
Ooh.
Where you were like, you know what?
A good question.
You know, I need a BFF or a sis.
Yes.
Or a boyfriend to take this over.
Oh, my God. What a great question.
I'll start with my own.
Yeah, please.
So my boyfriend is incredibly – he's an amazing planner. He is really put together. He's a planner to a fault sometimes. But, like, if we're planning a trip or something, I've now decided I'm going to hit my shemergency button and let him take the wheel of planning the trip because he loves it and he's very good at it. Mm-hmm. And if I do it for us, he'll just be constantly like, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do that? And I just feel like, take it.
Mm-hmm.
Take the lip sync.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. I think I'm gonna have to think about it and come back to it because really my life is so by design. I just don't put myself in situations where I want to get out of them desperately, honestly.
Of course, you shouldn't.
I could definitely have somebody take my place in certain situations. I'm exhausted right now. We just got back from Mexico last night, but we drove down just for the weekend and then driving back up, we were stuck in at the borderline for 6 hours. Honey, it was crawling at a snail's pace.
You were just in a car for 6 hours.
For 6 hours. But I shouldn't say that I wouldn't want somebody to take my place. I mean, being stuck in that situation was not very much fun for 6 hours, but I did really genuinely enjoy the presence of the person I was with. So,
yeah. Well, that's really nice. Yeah. But still, traveling's bad.
It's not cute.
Traveling really reveals a lot about a person, whether you want to or not.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and how you deal with that with a person you're on that trip, you know, means it's very meaningful.
Do you and your boyfriend travel well together now that you've given him the reins, take over, plan everything?
We do, because we have different skills. He's good at planning. Mm. Honestly, I'm good at keeping the general morale in check.
Oh, I love that.
You know what I mean? He'll be like, oh, this is falling apart. I don't know about this. Should we do this? I'm good at just being like, deep breath in, who cares?
Oh,
who cares what happens?
He's so blessed to have that energy. Are you, you're a Virgo. What is he?
He, oh God, he was November 11th.
Oh, he is Scorpio, honey.
Scorpico. Yeah.
Ooh, what an interesting combo.
Is it an unlikely combo or just interesting?
No, just very different personalities. Okay. The two, yes. I'm a Libra. I'm right in the middle of the two of you. And the closest people in my life are Virgos and Scorpios.
Oh, cool.
Most of my friends are Virgos and Scorpios.
Whoa.
And Libras. Yeah.
That's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I weirdly have a lot of
Michelle Visage is a Virgo, and RuPaul is a Scorpio.
Oh, fun.
Uh-huh.
I weirdly have a lot of Aquarius friends.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
They're
just
really airy, hippie dippy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Are you loving this, children? This is we're taking you to church. Honey.
Are we taking? great, love it. So they talk about how much they feel Jada saved Alexis. They talk about that a lot. I have a crude question here that I feel terrible asking.
Ask
you.
It.
Has anyone ever saved your life so much? Someone says, Juju says, Alexis saved your life so much.
I should suck that dick. Oh, my God.
Alexis should be sucking Jada's dick.
Oh,
have you ever been so saved that you were like, you know what? You saved me so much that figuratively or literally, I should suck your dick.
I feel like I've ended up in one too many relationships with those exact circumstances being laid out before me. Honestly, I feel like I'm just so grateful to you. No.
I'm just so grateful. You know, my boyfriend, I'm talking about my boyfriend a lot.
Yeah.
He just made me the best meatballs I've had in my life this weekend. And I literally said to him, I'm going to fucking suck your dick for this. These are
That's
insane.
Love. And did you, though? Did you stay true to your word?
Not yet. Oh. I haven't delivered yet. Also, because when you eat a lot of meatballs, you're just like, get
it's
off of me.
The last thing you want to do. Yeah, fair
Don't
enough.
Don't touch me. Any examples come to mind?
I really can't think of any, honestly. I've just been really grateful to people for, you know, for...
You're always sucking the universe's cock.
Really, truly.
Just you always.
Know, it's mutual, though. It's like a 69. I'm getting it back too, honey. I'm just like, it's cyclical.
Okay, 69 universe.
You give and you get.
That's another good...
Yes.
That's another good spiritual 69ing candle.
69ing with the universe.
69ing. Hi, excuse me. Oh, beautiful crystals here.
Yeah.
I need to, 69 with like the world and put my
source energy. Give it to me, honey. The archangels.
Look, Mercury has been rimming me in retrograde.
Exactly.
And I need something.
This
aren't
eclipse,
we in retrograde right now?
We are technically in Mercury. When is it not though?
Oh
my gosh.
Talk to me. So we get to the mini challenge.
Yeah.
And they have this sort of queens with guy phones,
yes,
challenge where they have to like take butch pics.
That was so of its time too, because I remember when guys with iPhones was such a thing. Is it even still a thing? Guys with iPhones?
It must be, but it must not be.
People
that popular.
Must. People. I mean, some of the children might not even know what it was. It was when like iPhones first came out, and like taking dick pics of yourself was like all the rage. It was like such a novelty because it was so new.
And it was right? early Instagram.
It was early.
Early Instagram.
I mean, because before with like BlackBerries and Trios and things, uh-huh. the pixel quality, it's just not uh-huh. worth it for taking dick pics. It is just not equipped for it. But
yes.
with iPhones.
They take pictures with digital cameras. Ah!
Yes. It's so funny.
Scary.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Isn't that scary?
Yes, yes.
Did you ever like take really butch pics of yourself?
Never.
Like,
Could you imagine? Could you imagine me? What for? What?
For what?
For what? Have you?
No.
Because for what though? Why?
For who?
Right? Yeah.
Because I just feel like once again, it's like there's no use in projecting that. It's so hard for me to
projecting a false identity.
Yeah.
You
of
know?
Course.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm all of everything. As are you. I'm butch. I'm femme.
Sure.
I'm everything in between. But
sure. But you're, no, but you're saying specifically.
I mean, these bitches in this challenge, they were trade, honey. They were serving trade. And it was fascinating seeing them like this, like, you know,
yeah.
embodying this like hyper masculine energy. It was kind of hot, I have to admit.
It can be.
And the winners of the mini challenge, I would have to agree. And it,
they were
surprisingly sexy.
They were fucking hot.
It was
so
Alexis and Yada, right?
There's also this amazing moment where Chad is butching up and he just randomly yells at himself, "I'd fuck me." And I thought that was so good.
I love the like their his like he's his he feelings it's like it's so necessary to speak in like a super like butch mask deep voice.
Yes.
Like, dude, you're a dude. You realize you still sound
that
like a man
really
when you just sound like you, right?
But yeah. the way we're looking at it is really evolving.
Yeah, totally.
And even just a couple years ago, it was like, oh well, if you want to fuck, you have to really butch it up.
Yeah.
Or if you want to like you for some reason, like, why is that such a foot in the door effect?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I feel like I almost never did that just because I was like, I will never sell on that. There are some guys who can pull it off.
Yeah, for sure.
Or maybe, it's an interesting thing of like, is that how they feel? Or are they partaking in some toxic masculine goodies?
Ooh, oh, fascinating.
You know?
Yes.
I know I've been guilty of it in the past.
Of course.
I remember, especially when I was early coming out, I was like, you're like almost bargaining with your gayness and you're
totally.
Like, well, I'm gay, but even like, just like, I didn't want to do drag because like, I'm gay, but I'm not that gay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be super duper gay because I want the majority to still like me.
Right. Yeah.
You're like already apologizing.
Now you just don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. I'm a
freak. And the majority still loves you.
Exactly.
So look at you.
And two, once you let go, you're just like, it's so lovely to like, every time a societal constraint comes up, you just get to say, oh, that's not for me.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Just like marriage, kids.
Right.
How you look,
right.
What you should dress as.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the looks, because we
Shall
have
we?
Jada giving tiny fuck boy.
Yes.
Jada is such an interesting looking creature.
Mm-hmm, she really is.
Because she's butch, but very hippie and femme.
So hippie and femme. So when she was like looking like a super dude for this challenge and like showing some skin, I was like, those, you have an hourglass curviness to you, honey.
It's a wild.
So she's fascinating.
She is a genderqueer lovely creature. And Alexis looks like the Lost Bone Thug.
Right, yeah.
Did you notice that even in the picture she's wearing this like studded diamond glove?
Yes, I did.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I did.
That's your butchest thing.
Latrice, I think Latrice is hilarious because all she had to do was just like just take a picture. She was overthinking it so much, but it's like, girl, just take the picture and you win. Like, just be you.
I wrote down, she looks like she was the sitting on the toilet girl.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Oh, that's
sitting
funny.
On toilet.
So uncomfortable.
And then I wrote down, Manila had the banana peeking out
of
her.
That was sexy.
Why did that get me?
I don't even know. And the fact that it was peeled, too, that just took me over the edge.
Ooh, that looked good. Have you ever looked at that book, The Big Penis Book?
Yes, I have.
I love that. I think that there's like
it's
a similar
be in it. There's
image.
A reference. I was wondering where, I was thinking Warhol, but you're right, it's from that.
Yeah,
I knew
from
it was
that.
A reference from something.
That
That's absolutely
is
it.
Is a wonderful, shocking book.
Mm-hmm,
I love
it. Truly
it
truly is, yeah. Found
okay.
It, found it at your local neighborhood Kitson.
oh my God. We could talk about this forever, but we can't.
What?
Do you know the work of the old queer artist, George Quaintance?
I don't.
You have to find it. There's an amazing Toshin book.
Oh, amazing.
Am I saying it right?
Toshin, yeah.
Of his work. He basically was creating queer art when queer porn was like mega banned. And he was creating like drawn illustrations of what they would call like athletic men. So it would be like cowboys taking off their clothes.
I do know what you're talking about.
It's like pre-Tom of Finland, but it's in that area where like drawing queer porn was a crime.
Yeah.
Or queer porn itself was a crime unlike straight porn.
Yeah.
So they had to resort to drawing and calling it athletic. And he's like one of these first artists who made like amazing, beautiful, homoerotic, but still like guarded images of almost queerness.
Oh, wow.
They're
so
fascinating.
Sexy. Do you have the book?
I don't. I just was going in Toshin.
We're going to have to stop at the library on the way home.
I just fucking rubbed one out in my local.
Because reading is what, honey?
Fundamental.
Yeah.
I just rubbed one out at the Toshin Nook at the Grove and was on my way.
You wouldn't be the first one. Shout. I mean.
So, there's no space. Okay, so when Raven is just giving this, she just looks like a queen, but I live for it.
Legit, I know. I was like, you still look like a twink. You know this, right?
Her
like the angle with everything. Yeah, just like giving all that jawline, honey, and those lips. So she's so cute.
I love, she is a perfect all-stars face.
Totally. Beautiful.
She is the model of like what you look like when you come back to all-stars.
Precisely. Good. You look good.
You look good.
Yeah.
And Juju just looks like a undressed cousin at a wedding.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Chad has soot on his face. Did you notice in his picture he was holding up a saw?
I did, yes.
A cartoon saw?
Yes, he really, really went above and beyond, just like taking all of the stereotypes of masculinity,
so
right?
Stupid.
I mean, I've never held a saw in my life, so I would that would be the first thing I would pick up if I was serving trade.
Like a Fisher-Price saw.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Chanel just is giving me Old Navy the house down.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay, and then of course the winners are, as you said,
Jean-Alexis.
Yes.
Sorry, spoiler alert, I gave it away too soon, kids.
Kids, sorry.
Premature.
Watch All Stars.
Exposure.
And they win an Andrew Christian subscription of underwear,
which I thought was hilarious. But they get one, they get one pair of underwear per month. So it's like you get 12 pairs of underwear.
You get 12 pairs of underwear.
I love it, but it just sounds so much cooler when you're
and
like
guys,
a year subscription to the underwear of the month club. I love it.
I know.
I want and one. Guys, I wonder if Andrew Christian's still doing that. Because if you're listening, I'm gonna sign up, honey.
Oh, you should be a celebrity model for Andrew Christian.
You should be a celebrity model for Andrew Christian.
Okay.
Why not?
Why not?
I saw. Did you see their booth at DragCon?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I've seen it in the past.
And you're the one who's talking about all the horniness at DragCon.
I think
skin.
I walked by it.
I mean,
and I saw all the boys.
I may have as well. Several, many times.
May have been several, many times.
Maybe.
Do you have a pair of Andrew Christians?
I don't. Actually.
Yeah.
Oh, do I?
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I do have one pair.
Yeah, I like them.
It has this, like, the special little pouch in the front.
The pouch that pushes the junk forward more.
Precisely, yes.
Yeah, I wish that was more comfortable.
Me too. I know.
I need to talk to Andrew Christian himself. He goes to our gym.
He does?
He does.
I wouldn't be able to clock him. I wouldn't know what he looks like.
I know. I do for some reason.
You do?
Well, he was on an episode of Drag Race, but I guess I just know what he looks like. He fascinates me because he's basically the gay Elon Musk.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Tim Cook is the gay Elon Musk. He's revolutionary. He's revolutionary, and I just love that he's like the queer equivalent of Hugh Hefner.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
He's just like, these are my fuck boys.
I bet Hugh Hefner went to our gym too. Who doesn't go to our gym? It is ridiculous. I mean, I don't want to name names here right now because who knows who's listening, but
exactly. It
is just a smorgasbord of who's who, no matter what time of day you go. It's ridiculous.
I say this a lot, but I'll tell you my favorite thing is the straight boys who give all the boys in the locker room a show. Yeah. Have you seen any of that?
How could you miss it? How could you miss it? And then it makes you question everything in life. Everything. It's ridiculous. I will say my favorite celebrity sighting, I feel like this one's safe enough to say, who I see quite often there, is Fabio.
No, you don't.
Bitch, you don't see Fabio there?
No.
All the time. Like at least twice a week
Maybe
I will see
I just
him there.
Don't like know... Does he still look just like Fabio?
Hey, do you remember the I Can't Believe It's Not Butter commercials?
Of course I remember like, I can't believe it's not butter.
Add 25 years onto that and you got, and there you go. That's
there
Fabio.
There you go.
Today. Yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh. Gaggy.
He should be doing I Can't Believe It's Not Boy Butter commercials these days. Bring
it back. This is my favorite story about our gym.
Please.
I took a yoga class.
Okay.
And who's next to me but Andrea Martin?
No.
I died.
Oh my God, I love it.
I died. Aunt Vula's next to me. Broadway legend.
Oh, I love it.
And the best part about it was she started the class and then for like she was in child's pose for the last 50 minutes of class.
Just over it. I'm done.
Yeah, she was like, I tried.
Yeah.
I tried. It was really a gag.
I'm accessing my inner child. Right.
Well, we are gonna dig into the main challenge right after this what?
Commercial break, honey.
Woo! Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot.
with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go! Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
And we're back. Oh my God, you just, I don't know if we heard it, but you just gave us the RuPaul commercial outro laugh.
I did. It's
you
just
did.
My laugh, girl.
That's just your laugh, but it is very, it was perfect. Okay, gag, here we go. Let's talk about the challenge. And the challenge for this week's episode is pranking people on the street.
I mean, and not, I mean, but first and foremost, we have to mention the fact that these brave souls were going out into the streets of Hollywood mm-hmm. during the day, mm-hmm. during the harsh light of day. Day drag is no joke.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And it's so funny. I feel like the whole structure of this challenge was like very, it very much felt like a mini challenge for any other season. Did it not? Like, it didn't feel like a maxi challenge.
It absolutely did.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely felt like a mini challenge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to admit, as much as I love the quirky turns and twists of this season, this challenge to me is maybe a problem.
Yeah.
Because if we're judging who is an all-star, it's pretty hilariously unfair.
Completely.
It's pretty hilariously unfair. Because, like, yeah. What skill does this translate to? Like, in entertainment, persuading people?
Yes, and drag shows, honey, you know this, drag shows are all about, really, I mean, like, you know, poking fun at people, putting the spotlight on them, reading them, but uh-huh. also being disarming, because you want to go over, as much as you're going to read a bitch in the crowd, you also mm-hmm. want her money at the end of the day. You want them to be tipping you and throwing you them dollar bills, so it's
you're
about...
You're almost convincing me.
Right? So I feel like it's about, there's a certain level of disarmament that needs to be embodied in a challenge like this, mm-hmm. and some of them bitches just didn't have it. Yada, just like barking at people.
Hi, come here.
Hi, hello.
It's funny how she's such a genius. Yeah. She's such a genius, but she didn't have this skill.
None whatsoever.
I also think it's interesting. Like, would you be good at this? Would you do?
Yes.
Can you? Yeah.
Yes, because I feel like you just have to own your space. Let a bitch know that you are meant to be here. I belong mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
You are here to get a show. I am going to entertain you. You know?
Yeah. I think you're right.
I think I would be good at it. Honestly,
you would be good.
Yeah. I don't know how good. I think that they were super super bold in the pranks that they did get some of the mm-hmm. you know the passersby to mm-hmm. partake in. Like, who was it? Was it Jujubee that put the whipped cream down that man's pants? I mean, that was bold, honey.
How did that happen?
That was bold.
Okay, this doesn't matter, but I think if I had to guess, that guy thought Juju was a girl.
Oh, a cis girl, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
And that guy just thought a beautiful girl was like, I want to put whipped cream on
you.
Yeah,
he was totally into it. He didn't even, are you kidding me? He was walking by. He was like, his back was to her when she asked if he would do it. And he was like, yeah, totally down. I'm totally down. I'll undo my pants for a complete stranger on Hollywood Boulevard in the middle of the day and let you put whipped cream on my dick. Cool.
What? Do you have any drag names? Like, I know you don't do drag at much. You've done it for like a role or two.
I've done it in movies. No, I haven't done it. And you, I mean, as you know, Rue is adamant that I get into drag, and I cannot wait to do it. I'm so excited
to do it. How funny! What a funny problem to have. RuPaul won't leave me alone about doing drag. I'm going to think about
it. It's such a gift.
It's such a gift.
I'm so excited. I think, like I said to him, we would be twins.
Do you think, okay, here's an interesting drag conversation we need to have.
Yeah, yeah.
So me and my co-host, Ozma, who you met, is very amazing and talented. And you know, when he's in drag, he's like, I love being the character. Mm. I love being the character. I don't call me Oscar because I am Ozma.
Mm.
And I kind of feel the opposite.
Oh, interesting.
When I'm in drag, I really enjoy being like, this is me. Like, this is me being fun, being, like, I enjoy being like, yes, I'm in drag, but I'm going to be the most me.
I love that. Well, I mean, it's what Rue says, that drag doesn't change who you are. Mm-hmm. It reveals who you are.
Yeah.
Are you always, when I met you, you were in drag, when we were doing the UCP mm-hmm. Drag Race thing, and you were a bearded queen. Are you ever not a bearded queen?
I have done it a couple times, but I prefer being a bearded queen.
I mean, it's sexy. It's incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I prefer it. I think, oh God, this is interesting. This opens up a conversation on gender expression, but like, I enjoy poking fun at it all.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think, I'm not the most traditionally passing queen.
Okay.
Even though our definition of what that means is changing,
I think you're fish as fuck, honey.
Thank you. You're welcome. I got gams. but it takes some work to de-hair myself.
Oh, my God.
And so I think part of that has been like, meh, I'm not going to go passing. I'm going to be gender fucky.
I love that.
But who knows? Maybe my relationship with it is changing.
Who knows?
One day.
I don't have a drag name, but feel free to name me. No.
Oh, God. I'm going to think of them. I think I have a doc filled with drag names. We'll talk about it.
We're talking about docking now? What just happened? How did that just happen so quickly?
Is docking pegging?
No. Do you not know what docking is?
No. Docking is when you put the dick together, right? And like, does it require, it requires a foreskin.
It requires at least one foreskin.
Preferably two.
Yeah, exactly. It's incredible. If you haven't tried it out there, kids,
give
it a shot.
If you fully want to sink.
Yeah, exactly.
Give it a shot. It's like when you plug your iPhone into a weird accessory and it's like, it doesn't support this accessory. But if you have two foreskins.
I feel
foreskins,
very supported, personally.
Good. Yeah. Me and you both, I think. We're ready to dock. You know what? Let's do that for our pick. Let's dock.
Let's do it. Absolutely. Done.
Okay, let's talk about their looks in the main challenge, even before the runway.
Okay, let's do it.
Raven has this like pink afro look and this like black and white Minnie Mouse couture-ness moment happening.
Yes.
It was pretty good.
She was cute. She was really cute. She looked great during the day.
I loved it. And then Raven stops to feed a man grapes. It's very silly. You know what's funny? Yeah, it doesn't matter, but like I think they wouldn't do this challenge nowadays. Especially when they're showing someone who, like, for sure on Hollywood Boulevard is a gentleman who's just having a tough time in life.
Absolutely.
I don't think I feel
like it would be so much easier. It wouldn't be the same effect because the show is so much more popular now. The queens are so much more recognizable now. It would be so easy to get people to do this shit on the street.
Oh, like, you know, yeah. Now,
on Hollywood Boulevard, it wouldn't be a gag. Isn't that so funny?
People
would be lining up to get whipped cream on their dicks.
And now they move production like further and further away trying to get people to not come stock them.
Yes, precisely. Yeah. Well, also lack of studio space in LA in general. But yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Great. Someone takes their shirt off. Mm-hmm. Juju's look is just cute girl. I think she was wearing like a Gaga shirt.
I think she was too.
She was just cute girl.
It was very ready to wear.
Very ready to wear. That's interesting. Uh-huh.
When Forever 21 was acceptable on Drag Race.
She has always been that queen. Uh-huh. She's just been like, well, I'm just like kind of, which I don't know, I'm mad at.
Yeah, she pulls it off.
I would love to see her come back.
Yes, that
would be fun.
Yes, yeah, she would be incredible.
Okay, then Manila is up. We have Manila's 80s backup dancer went to Macy's look.
But she looked so
fantastic. I love
her
drag.
I love Manila Luzon.
Gosh,
I think her taste level is on point.
How did you feel during All Stars 4, during the moment, the face crack?
You know, it's a game, and those bitches came to play it. So that's all we can really say. Of course she was a front runner. Of course she was everyone's competition, which is why she went. I think the gag was that nobody had done that up to that point. No one had, like, knocked out the toughest competition.
It's like Survivor.
Yeah.
You can't pull that move too quick.
I wouldn't do it, though. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be the one to knock out my toughest competition.
I buy that.
Would you?
No, I don't think so.
We're here to win. And you really want to prove that you are the best of the best, right?
Yeah.
Not the most sly or cunning or, you know, shady to get to the top. But you're the best. You're a motherfucking all-star.
You're the best. Mm-hmm. It's tough to say. I've never been in that pressure cooker situation. Mm. But yeah, I just wouldn't love to do that. Mm. It would suck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. People crack eggs on their head. We get it. Latrice's look. I love her. Seeing her walk around Hollywood.
It was so interesting, right? Like, I mean, to really go there for a minute, like race in America, seeing how people were so willing and like open to talking to Manila and talking to the girls who were prettier, quote unquote, prettier, more femme, lighter skinned, more Caucasian looking.
Yeah.
But as soon as there was a 7 foot tall, big ass black woman on the streets, people were, you know, like averting their eyes at every turn. It was very obvious to me. Like,
it's very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
It made
me
feel uncomfortable. It made me feel bad for Latrice, but I mean, I guess, you know, that's just kind of like what it is to be a black person in America. I feel that way. Walking down the street as like a 6'4" black person, people have certainly crossed the street when coming my way out of
people
fear.
People are thinking it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Even if they would hate to admit it, they're thinking it.
But it's so obvious. They're projecting projecting it onto you, right?
So
I think,
of course.
So I think the, like, between that and then like the just like the unfortunate choices that Manila made when like asking Latrice to like get the Sharpie or the can of sardines at the very bottom of the right. of the trash can, like that really did like inhibit her from really shining in this challenge.
Yeah, I almost wonder if the fix on this challenge is like I want it to be less about the money and more about how fierce and fun were you
yes.
on the street. I almost yes. feel like, you know what I mean? Then I think it's a little more just like
yeah.
about the talent.
Totally.
Than like who happened to walk by at 2:34 p.m.
Exactly. Oh, could you, do we even think about that? We don't even
right?
know. We don't even know like if all the queens got the exact same amount of time or was it the amount of people who walked by? Were the producers counting that? Like what was the criteria?
I mean, if I don't want to, I don't want to poke holes in my favorite show in the world, but you know,
I do. I'm
you do,
girl. It's girl. Why I was asked to be on Drag Race in the first place as a guest judge because yeah. I'm on a TV show about behind the scenes of reality television.
Right?
Unreal. Well, then, all we do is pull the curtain back on reality TV.
Well, there you go. Then the okay, come on, Unreal.
I want to know how the sausage is made. I want to see. I want to see that the wizard is really just you know a crusty little white man
uh-huh.
behind a you know a, like a satin curtain. I want to know. I want to know all the tea.
I
want to
know. I want to see how they get all the young lunatics on Are You the One to perfectly match up with each other by the last episode.
Psychological evaluations, darling. That's
I know.
How, and they match the craziest
You need to watch the new
together.
Season, by the way.
I can't possibly.
But it's all queer and bi people.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
It's an all pan and bi cast, and the whole gag is... Your match could be a boy, it could be a girl,
oh, I love that.
It could be someone non-binary, it could be someone trans, it's amazing.
You know, I just, after playing a reality show TV producer for five mm-hmm. years of my life, I cannot watch reality television other than Drag Race because I just
Damn.
See,
you
I see. See everything.
You
I
know
see,
what's happening.
I see all of the production, I see all of the manipulation, I see all of the edits, I know how it's done, I know how the sausage is made, so it just, it's
Damn.
Not, like I tried to watch, I'm going to admit this, I haven't admitted
admit.
This to anyone, I watched the first episode of The Hill's New Beginnings because I was actually excited for it, kids. I was
yeah.
actually, I was really excited for this reboot. I was excited
yeah.
for the throwback. I loved me some Elsie and some Low and some Audrina and some Heidi and some Stephanie. I mean, I loved those kids. Did you
I
watch
never
The Hills?
Got into it.
I loved it.
I
loved I
don't
it
know
so
why.
Much. I thought it was so brilliant, and they did the best. The final scene of the original
the original
Hills.
Series.
Do you remember
people
what they did for the final
about
scene?
It? No, but I remember people talking about
it's
it.
It's brilliant. They just did like a crane shot, like they do like a close up of the you know the main cast members all together huddled, giving mm-hmm. a hug, saying goodbye to each other, and then the camera pulls back, goes all the way up into the sky, and you see that their entire world that they've been living in is a set. On like a soundstage in Hollywood.
Wait,
it's
I didn't
incredible.
Know this.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's so brilliant. It's like, and the gag is none of this shit's real. It's incredible.
Wait, I'm gagged.
Yes.
Wait, I didn't watch the show and I'm gagged.
Yes.
So wait, they say, hey,
yeah.
this wasn't real.
It wasn't real. It was completely scripted. Yeah.
Okay, now I'm gagged.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm gagged. Has anyone ever been gagged 20 years later? Just
but the thing is that coming back, I was actually talking to a producer of The Hills New Beginnings, and this season is not scripted. So it's just not as interesting. It's like it's super, super, super produced because they're just like regular human beings who, you know, don't really shine naturally on camera. So they really have to like do a lot of gags in order to get in, like a lot of
wow.
squeezing to get the juice out, honey. A lot of pumping to get that, you know, to get a little.
Look, this potato doesn't make juice.
Exactly.
Okay, here we go. Back in.
Sorry. I keep
no, never be sorry.
Sidetracking.
No, we tangents are part of our brand.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on our tangents.
Amazing.
Great. So wait, we have Jada's hot look. I just
yes.
want to say she looks like a J-Lo backup dancer.
She's hilarious.
But hotter.
But that was another thing that I would have taken into consideration. Like it's day drag and you need
right?
to like draw people in. So like just like doing a little bit of a friendlier look could have been helpful for her.
It was kind of like a badass bitch.
Yeah, totally. She was very intimidating. I wouldn't stop for her. I would have
no.
been too intimidated by her.
Yeah, I would have been a hair scared. She almost looked like she was like on the set of Claws.
Completely. And
yeah.
she went in, honey. She went for it with these challenges. Being down on all fours, being walked
oh,
around like
dog
a dog on
genius.
A leash, pissing
and
on
pissing.
The tree. See, what I love, I forgot. What I love about these, is so good. What I love about this challenge is that you get to see Rue's reaction, right? Like, you know.
That the, was awesome.
It was so
was right
great.
There.
Yeah. Because when the queens are behind the monitors, like giving instructions to the queens
mm-hmm.
who are out on the street, Rue is right there with them. And I love it when anybody can make Rue laugh. It's
oh,
just, it's the,
what a,
it's the most
you've
joyous,
made Rue laugh, I'm sure.
I have. Yeah. It's the most
wow.
joyous thing
that's,
in the world.
That's on par with like a weekend at a a spa.
Yeah.
Like, what rejuvenation? I can only imagine.
It's like a christening.
I want to say that Jada gives a line that's one of my favorites, which is, when you do pranks, people are rude. Which, Jada, yeah, you got him.
Yeah.
Alexis, look, I wrote down kiosk worker at the mall.
Completely
realness.
That wig, honey.
But she does have more friendly look. She has a way more just like, hi. Mm-hmm. Oh, the wig.
The wig was everything.
Good.
Yeah, it really was.
Bang.
But it was great. I mean, she looked fantastic.
Really
but,
hot.
You know, but she looked great, but it was also, like we were talking about, the energy. She was just much, she's just so sweet and kind and disarming. Like, she I would stop on the street to talk to
it
Alexis Mateo.
It speaks to her strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She's so kind. She was just like very much, she was very maternal, very motherly, you know?
Yeah.
You know? She was great.
Yeah, and she looks like she's your girl. She's like, she's your girl who you can like key with, where you're just like, you know what? I like you.
Yeah.
Chanel. Giving Russian auntie who owns a dirty bakery.
Oh, God. A dirty bakery. That's amazing.
I just almost went to a bakery. I was like walking in the door and they had a bee.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. The
they had
code.
A bee.
So
and I was like.
Did you continue in or
no.
did you sashay away, honey?
No, I sashayed away.
Yes.
And the part that breaks my heart was I went from this mom and pop place to Whole Foods.
Oh, that's a shame. I wonder what Whole Foods rating is, though. I mean, I lived in New York for several many years. A B ain't shit. A B is like, yay, I'll take it.
Yeah,
like I'm hungry.
Yeah,
I
have been to a lot of like Asian American places that have a B, and I'm just like, no, this place is delicious.
Yeah, it's amazing. But
yeah,
I'll take the dumplings, please.
Monterey Park,
please.
Come on.
Yes.
Okay, Chad's look. It's very Celine Dion, know she better do.
Oh, bitch, yes.
And I love her. She is just the cutest. I just love her every time. She's like, rock on, mama.
Yes.
Welcome to Hollywood. Like
she's like the perfect day drag queen. She's the
she really is.
Like, I would love to see her for a drag brunch.
Cause she is such as we know, as Ru's out of Ru's own mouth, she is a class act.
Yes, she is.
She's a class act. She's galvanized, focused, and ready to take home this crown.
Yes, she is, honey.
This one. So we're back in the workroom. We're prepping. What did I write down? Not knowing what you know. What? Oh, okay. Not knowing how well the episode goes. Who do you think just did the best, like personality wise?
Manila Luzon.
Uh huh.
Chad Michaels.
Yeah.
Alexis Mateo.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my top three, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I wish this season was longer, and I wish they even did something where they got to become solitary queens sooner, or they had to switch up their pairing.
Yeah, oh, that's brilliant. I love the switching. Switching up the pairing is good.
That could have been fun.
And getting, I guess they had to do it. They had a number of episodes they did were much less than the regular season. I was going to say, sending both of them home at the same time just seems so,
it's
heartbreaking.
Harsh. It's harsh. It was before they had all the money.
Exactly.
All the money.
But they still get $100,000, don't they?
Dollars,
I would hope so.
I'm sure. And because this was like in between, this was between 4 and 5.
Had
they
to
were just
because
like,
the queens were there from
there was no five queens.
Yeah,
I think they were just like
saving it for All Stars 2. Let's just bring the entire cast of season 5 onto All Stars 2. By the by,
what
you just I'm sure you all know, everybody in the drag universe must know this by now.
Yes,
but the entire series is now available on Amazon Prime. Do you know this? Including the lost season 5. Season 5 was never available. There was like a certain time period for the past couple of years
where
season 5
available.
Was not available. It wasn't available on iTunes for purchase. It wasn't available for streaming anywhere in America, in the United States of America.
That's
elsewhere.
Ungagged.
I've been to other countries in the world where season 5, and wherever
it's
I am,
available.
I watch it, you know, from start to finish. But
I bought it back in the day.
So you own it still.
So I still have it on my iTunes. But what I don't have is the third season of Untucked, aka season 4's Untucked.
Why don't you have it?
It's incredibly hard to find.
You can't get it on iTunes?
No.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I think there's some weird things said, and this was the time where, like, I think Willem and Fifi bring up the weird production stuff. Because there was some weird stuff that happened with production, like Willem allegedly, like, you know.
Well, we know.
Canoodled.
Oh, we know. Yeah.
And I think
with her boyfriend, though, no?
I heard it was with someone in production, but that's...
Oh, really?
So
when she got the boot?
That's what I heard. Oh, I want to say she says it on her podcast.
She does.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I totally I just assumed it was like her boyfriend. That's
no,
so
I
funny.
Think that's the story they gave.
Wow.
So that things didn't get litigious.
Oh, interesting.
But I don't, tell me if I'm wrong. Please call me out if I'm wrong. But I
like your story better. Honestly, your version's
if I'm not mistaken, I think they talk about it.
Interesting. All right.
But anyway, right. It's crazy. We need to have it back.
Yeah, understandable.
I need that season. Yeah. There's a lot of gems in there. Like, you know, of course, LaShawn Beyond fighting with Jiggly.
Yes.
And Sharon and Fifi fighting all the time.
Oh my God, no. That it's breaks hard. My heart. It breaks my heart. Go back to Party City, bitch.
Where you belong.
Yes.
All you kept saying was you wanted a fucking cruise. Yes. You wanted a fucking cruise. I live for their fights.
So epic. I love, Fifi, bless her heart, her attempt at coming back for a redemption in All Stars. Oh my goodness, girl.
That was girl. Interesting.
Failed attempt. Anyway.
Failed attempt.
Next.
But then again, next. So Latrice at this point brings up presenting Mask as a drag queen.
Mm.
This is a good time to maybe have just a little bit more of our conversation.
Sure.
They talk about how do you feel as a boy? How do you feel as a girl? Some of them, of course, are like, oh, like I do feel like I have a handle on this, you know, I have a handle on feeling my oats as a boy and feeling my oats as a girl. Mm. This might be a good time to talk about like, what's our relationship to wanting to be fuckable versus just wanting to be our queerest, truest self. You know, like I remember like on another podcast on What's the Tea, you kind of talk about how like you had a lot of toxic interactions with the gay community because you were.
Do you know what's hilarious?
What?
It's so funny.
What?
So sorry, you can continue. I was talking on What's the Tea about how like when I was like 16 years old and first started modeling that I had like throughout my 20s, I had to really learn how to be comfortable and trust gay, be comfortable around and trust gay men, like
right.
older gay men, because in my early teen years, I was so objectified and hypersexualized by them,
wow.
by like creepy photographers and clients and agents, you know, like take you into their office and get you to do Polaroids and like, mm-hmm. you know, strip down to your underwear and like, mm-hmm. just like, you know, I mean, which is, you know, it's like par for the course, but it's like, but just like the shady, gross shit that goes on in between.
Of course.
So I, without saying names, I was thinking of one very specific person.
Ah!
And they're in Calgary, where I lived, where my first modeling
uh-huh.
agency was. And, you know, I didn't name names, but I said that, you know, there's
that also blew my mind that it's Calgary.
So funny.
Blew my top that it's not Calgary.
It's either, honestly.
Nope,
I have such
Calgary.
A strange pronouncing. How do we say Calgary? Do we say Calgary? Oh, see,
oh,
the other Canadian in the room
Canadian.
Says Calgary. Interesting.
Wow.
Well, this is why Michelle Visage makes so much fun of me, because I over-enunciate. Anyway,
yeah.
Long story short, Michelle Visage just so happens to be in Calgary maybe 2 weeks after we record that episode of
okay.
With the Tea, and she texts me. She's like, I'm in Calgary. I was like, what the fuck are you doing in Calgary? She was there for a drag brunch for the Calgary Stampede.
Okay.
Cut to a couple of hours later, I'm like looking online, watching her stories or whatever. Who does she have a picture with at one of the clubs but the very specific person
no.
I had in mind, my old agent, who was like this closeted quote unquote straight guy who was
how?
So shady and so creepy.
That's going on your auto bio at some
it's
point, right?
Yeah, only me. I mean, people, anybody who I don't think, I mean, I guess anybody listening would really know who I'm talking about. I'm not
wow.
going to name names, but
okay.
But it was just, I mean, it was just hilarious. Just
yeah.
hilarious. So let's talk about this.
So let's talk about this.
I had to do a lot of unlearning really learn to be comfortable around gay men and to trust them.
Yeah.
To not just be seen as like a thing, as like a fuck boy.
That's
and I think
fascinating.
That's where some of the niceties came in. You know, it's like, no, pay attention to like how kind it can be, or
yeah.
like my humor or my intellect, or, you know, like all of the other things other than my face and my dick and my ass, you know?
Wow.
How about those?
And that gags me because I have a little bit of a different weird thing where, so I was just like really fat and like, I was obese or whatever you want to say.
Too.
I was a thick thing, and I was thick like all the way up until like early college. And I spent, I was at that time during like my adolescence, I was like, I need to lose weight because I want to be a fuck thing. Like I spent a lot of emotional energy like trying to become an object.
Seeking that validation.
I wanted to be an object so bad.
Yeah.
And I just felt like once I got thin enough and toned enough and then in like for instance, and then like I had excess skin, so I had skin removal.
Mm.
And I was like, once this is removed, then I'll be fuckable enough. And it was like a similar thing we're talking about today's episode is like, it wasn't, I wasn't going to feel good until I felt good about myself.
It's an inside job.
It's an inside job.
Yes.
And, but I kept wanting to be an object so bad. I wanted to be objectified. Wow. So bad.
Oh
that I didn't learn this lesson until I'm still learning and unlearning it, because it's a continued dialogue of like, go work out, you know, people, I want people to think of me like, I want them to think I'm attractive. And what does that mean?
So what happened as soon as you did start to become objectified? Did you feel validated? Was it fulfilling? Was it satisfying? Were you complete? Were you a whole human being after this?
No, you know the answer.
Well, yeah, but I feel like that's the story of Los Angeles. That is the story of Los Angeles. People constantly seeking validation for their physical shell. Mm-hmm. Getting a new nose, a new chin, new lips, new cheeks, new forehead, new plugs, new ass, new tits, suck away some fat, cool sculpt this. It's like, girl, you are never ever going to be satisfied with who you are until you start from the inside out. And it sounds so cliche to say, but really, like it is Rue's message. Mm-hmm. If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Because if you are living in that state of constantly needing validation from other people based on your physical appearance, you are never ever going to be fully there, fully present, fully authentically yourself to love somebody else, to be there and be present with them, and to love them for exactly who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
100%, 100%. Like, even with my current boyfriend, like it took so long for me to be like, wait, you love me?
Like, you are so cute. You are adorable.
You really are.
You are in fantastic shape. You have a beautiful face. You have a great personality.
You.
You're hilarious.
Oh,
you're super kind.
I'm gagged.
I also probably would have thought you were just as adorable when you were thick, because I love me some thick boys.
Thank you.
I love me some thick boys. And
thank you.
In fact, all of the boys at our gym, there's not one I'm attracted to. I'm not attracted to the super crazy sculpted, eight pack, crazy, like pecs that look like tits. Like, it's not my thing. I'm not attracted to it.
I like that. You're, okay, thank you. God bless you.
I like natural bodies.
I describe myself as sneakily gorgeous.
Yeah, you're gorgeous.
I'm not trade, I'm borrow, bitch.
Oh my God, you're so funny.
But truly.
Oh my God, I wouldn't keep the receipt with you, honey, because I'm not going to return it.
Not return it. I do love myself. It's just, it's this constant thing of like, I always go back to that. Like, it's so easy for me to be like, oh, I, you know, because our porn's our trigger when we're gay.
Yeah.
And it's like, I see the body. I'm like, oh, you should be that. Mm. It's like, I'm like Sleeping Beauty, always reaching for the spindle.
Mm.
I need someone to wake me up before I touch the spindle. Because I go touch that spindle. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Maleficent's here.
That bitch again.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
You're so funny.
We should keep going.
Shall we? Because I could keep going.
Thank you for being so present and wonderful for all of the gay community.
Like attracts like, honey.
Here we go. We need to get to the runway. What do you say?
Shall we? Let's do it.
The runway is Bad Girl Chic.
Yes.
We have Janice Dickinson being wild.
Yes, the original supermodel of the world, honey. I mean, I will say, I think that I don't think she actually has that title. I know Rue said it at the beginning of the intro, but I think it was Gia Marie. Karanji was the original supermodel of the world, honey.
You mean Tyra. You said Rue. Would you say Rue?
Rue said it. Rue said it when he introduced
he says the original
supermodel of the world.
You're right.
Yeah, no, but it was really Gia. Gia
it's
Marie
Gia Karanji.
Yes.
Yeah. I live for Gia.
Me too, honey.
Made popular by the film with Angelina Jolie.
Yes. And you know, Cindy Crawford has a whole career because of her. Cindy Crawford was baby Gia. She like was the spitting image of Gia when she first came onto the scene. And Gia Gia had already passed away. So when Cindy Crawford came along, people were just gagged because they were like, who is this? This young baby Gia. That was her nickname, baby Gia.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But Janice Dickinson is better TV than a true model.
She is really good TV.
She's such.
I loved me some
ANTM. You love old ANTM.
Oh my God, I met for the first time. I wonder if she listens. Hello, hello, hello. April from ANTM Cycle 1.
Oh, I would live.
April Wilkner, I think that's her name.
Wow. I remember April.
She's
I would
gorgeous.
Live.
I just met her last week. She's so sweet.
Oh, I would live.
I loved me some ANTM Cycle 1. I actually still have it on DVD.
Oh, I love all the old seasons. Mm-hmm. Season two is what, because season two is you fucking cheater.
Oh my God, that's right.
That's
oh
season
God,
two, right?
Yes.
I fucking slammed with someone.
Oh my God, that's right.
That moment is actually really hard to watch, but it's also legendary.
Reality TV of that
you
era was
threw it away.
Reality TV of that era was so incredible because people didn't know how to produce themselves yet. They didn't know how to play the game, so they were just themselves.
They
it
also
was
didn't
so
understand.
Beautiful. They didn't get it.
They didn't get it.
Would you ever be a reality TV contestant or participant? You would?
I
Okay.
If I think I might would.
All right. I think I might would.
I might would.
That's my new favorite. That's my new favorite English. Would. That's my new favorite English. I think I might would.
I might would.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful. Okay, here we go. Let's get into this runway, honey.
Okay.
So we have Ruju B.
Yes.
Raven's giving us sort of Harajuku dominatrix. What do you think?
That makeup child Liv. Was incredible. Don't I come mean, for that we all know why she does Ru's makeup at
yes,
this point.
Yes, we do.
Too. She is very talented with
so
that
talented.
Paintbrush. Yes, gorgeous. Those lips were everything. Janice was reading her. Janice was saying that it was too much and that it was scary when she smiled, but I thought it was sickening.
Janice, you're wrong.
I know. Yeah.
To quote Janice's. A thing Janice said to an innocent girl on ANTM, you're dead to me, bitch.
Yes. We were rooting for you.
We have Juju giving a lace and leather look. Great. Very steampunk.
Cute. Yeah.
It's cute.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's funny how that wouldn't survive on today's Drag
Certainly
Race
not.
Runway.
Certainly not.
No.
No, neither
but then
has.
It was cute.
It was great. Yeah, sure.
We have Shad. We have Chad giving glam punk Carol Brady.
I just think it's always funny when Chad tries to do anything edgy. Like,
I agree.
Just hilarious.
Which is why I think they shouldn't have won. Yeah. I don't know if they should have won this episode.
I agree.
Because what is Chanel's look either?
I don't know.
It's kind of like I am shady.
Sexy rocker linebacker question mark, bitch. Mono wrote that, by the way.
What are you talking about? You're crazy. That's what I wrote. But I don't know. To me, this was not the best look, but whatever.
No, certainly not.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Jarlexis, we have Jada giving the Tim Burton clothesline.
Okay, so, and then Alexis Mateo wearing her Jada's creation as well. The hair
yes.
pieces. They were sickening. Okay.
It's like hairy bumblebee of sorts.
Yes. The silhouettes were gorgeous. They were fit so perfectly to their bodies. There was something so aesthetically fascinating about them, kind of like Alexander McQueen-esque.
Yes.
I see. Why Michelle read Yada and said that the clothesline hairpiece was a little bit too much. I see why Janice said, bitch, you're wrong. It's incredible. Any designer would die to know these two queens.
Right.
She was right. At the same time, something was a little bit off, and I can't quite put my finger on what it was. I thought it was, maybe it was the makeup, maybe it was the accessorizing. I don't know what it was, but.
I get what they're saying, or it is just like there's so many things happening that. Yeah.
Yes, there's so many things happening. I didn't know where the eye needs to travel, but I didn't know where the fuck for my eye to land. I didn't know where to put it.
Yeah. You know? It's ambitious.
Yes.
But it's kind of like an overdressed salad.
Yeah. You're just gotta toss it a little bit more and hope that some of the dressing will fall off.
There's feta and beets and corn and avocado.
This coming from the man who like does custom built salads from Sweet Green six, okay. seven, 8 days a week, 9 days a week.
You clocked me.
Red for Phil Pony.
I love too much stuff on a salad.
So funny. I mean, I really did. What I loved so much about this moment was when I can't even remember who it was. One of the judges was complimenting Alexis on her outfit, and Yala was like, "Yeah, oh my god, you love it. Oh, I made it. It's mine."
Was a gag.
Everything and the look that Alexis gave her.
Like, that was a gag.
Let a girl have a
Jada's
moment.
Jada's feeling her
oats. Yes.
She's really feeling her
oats.
She
had to get it from somewhere.
I can't say
I blame her.
That's how you get the top of your game.
Exactly. It was
then
good
TV. Then we have Manila giving dark-sided Blade Runner ho.
Sickening.
That was stunning.
Sickening.
And that's fucked up that she went home in that. That's
Honey,
fucked up.
I mean, the kids know, obviously, right? Spoiler alert, girl.
Spoiler alert.
Latrilla loses.
7 years. Yeah, seven
Such
years ago.
Such a shame. I mean, she looked between her challenge.
Yeah.
Where she killed it.
Yes.
And then this runway look.
And then
which
Latrice
was
is divine.
Latrice
I thought
is
divine. Pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good too. I mean, I see what Janice was saying once again,
I see
reading
the problems.
Her with the makeup. The makeup was a little bit, it was too white. I mean, but when didn't a dark skinned black girl at that time?
Okay.
When did she get her makeup right?
Right.
You know? Like really truly. I mean, let's blame
makeup
it on. Makeup is tough. Drag makeup is tough.
I mean,
and when you're doing it.
Photography's racist, makeup's racist.
Precisely. But when you're doing it for, you know, like painting for the back row of a club, it's one thing. It works. But with those lights and with the, you know, the cameras and everything, like you do, it took the colored queens a little bit longer
to figure it out
for themselves.
And we're still.
I am a black man, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know. So don't come for me now, children. I can comment on this.
If you don't know who JBC is, delete, log off, Fifi. Okay, because I don't want to be involved with you.
So
the critiques happen. There's a weird moment where they say who they should send home.
Yes.
They say say we can't understand Jarlexis, and Jarlexis bitches. Gets pissed.
Well, I mean, come on. How shady was that?
That was shady.
So petty.
That wasn't cool.
So petty. Excuse me. These children are citizens of the United States of America. Yeah. They happen to speak English as a second language. They are fluent in it. They may have an accent, but bitches, they are your competition. Don't be so petty.
Don't be
as
so
to
petty.
Come for these bitches vernacular.
And to be as good as they are, it's always been true. Like, they have to, they're working four times as hard.
Yes.
And delivering, killing it. So it's like, they deserve props.
I mean, snaps for Alexis Mateo for coming for those bitches, saying, we are here to send all, each and every one of you motherfuckers home.
Yeah.
Go. Bye, bitches. Just because we Spanish? Yes. Really? Really? That's all you got, girl?
Really?
That's all you got, cunt? Okay.
Okay.
Bye, bitch, bye.
Yes.
Sashay away.
Yes.
See ya.
Oh, bitch.
Thank you, Alexis.
And
thank
honestly,
you for
the creativity
for them.
That ESL queens bring to the table.
Yes.
Almost always outgags other queens.
Absolutely.
So
their use of the English language is just, it's much more interesting.
Right. Take that and stuff it in your gaff and smoke it.
Bam. Sickening. Yes.
So then we have our we have our lip sync nasty. They do is it called nasty,
nasty
by Janet?
Is it nasty or nasty girl? I think it's nasty.
I forget which what it's called.
No, it's nasty because
it's nasty.
Yeah, for sure.
Were you at the season? Because this is one of the rare songs that's been done multiple times on Drag Race.
I thought so.
Yeah, it's also done at the finale of season 10.
I was there.
I was gonna ask if you were there.
I was there.
Were
that's
you
really
there?
Funny. Yeah, I was there. I've been there
at
for the
Butterfly Graveyard.
Girl, I was there.
Talk to me.
Well,
I was
okay,
not
so, I mean,
there, but I
mean,
heard
I don't
about
even know,
it.
I don't even know what to say. So I was there. Okay, so let me say this. My first season guest judging Drag Race was season 9. So I also was there for the grand finale of that with the Sasha Velour Roses moment, which was epic, legendary, everything, honey.
Yes.
And the energy in the room, in the theater in that moment when that red wig came off and those rose petals started fluttering down to the ground all around her was everything. Like, every single person in that audience stood, like, jumped up from their seats and was just screaming at the stage, yes, honey, yes. It was incredible. Yes. It was electric. The feeling. The moment
I can only imagine what it was like to be there live. I'm so jealous.
Oh, it was incredible. But the feeling when Asia O'Hara had the butterfly moment, it was the exact same thing. But flip the script, honey. It was the opposite.
Damn it.
It was the same electrical charge that went through each and every single person in that room. But it was just like it like electrocuted you to death. Like it was like you're short circuiting. Like what is going on right now? What is going on? What is going on? It was a lot to take in.
It sucks.
It was a lot to take in.
It sucks because it's like such. I get why she was like, how am I going to out gag last season?
Oh, honey.
I've got to do something crazy.
Let's not start with live animals, shall we?
And now we're almost in the era of the, we're now at the unreveal. Like, reveals
oh my God,
are almost
right.
done.
They were probably banned. I would guess the producers were like, nope.
No,
because Brooklyn's costume in the grand finale this year, it literally was a cloak that said reveal on it. Literally.
Right.
It was written in bold white letter reveal and then took it off. And it
we're
was just
postmodern
like,
reveal.
Yeah.
Which
you know,
is pretty wild.
Girl, just give me the performance. Sure, some reveals are cute. Mm-hmm. Sure, give me a couple gags here and there, but I really want to see who's going to motherfucking lip sync for
their
legacy.
It's cyclical.
Yes.
Cyclical. I think the next reveal is like an Alexis Stone style. Remember when Alexis Stone like ripped off her makeup?
Yes.
That whole thing?
Yes.
I think that's the next reveal. You have to your fucking face, girl.
I do have to give it to Silky Nutmeg and Nash for doing the like that crazy wig reveal.
Oh, it was great.
Her wig reveal was amazing where she pulled it off in like 6 pieces.
She pulled it off in 2?
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, it was
like
fantastic.
A Looney Tunes losing their mind.
Yeah.
Like, nah!
Yeah. Were you there for that? Have you been to the finale?
I had to miss it.
Oh,
I was traveling.
Honey.
I'm going to be at the next one.
You're going to be on the next one. Would you ever compete? Would you ever do Drag Race?
I would, but I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Like certainly my clothing is not there yet. My makeup is not there. I mean, nothing. And I'm pretty gender fucky, so I need to figure my shit out if I'm going to be on the season.
Fair enough. I would like, I guess they can't because then they have to make it public. I was going to say, I wish the queens could like start Kickstarters or something to have their, if it really does come down to clothes and costumes, like it just seems so like an unfair, unbalanced playing field for queens who just don't have the cash
there
to do
yet.
It. Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I don't know if I'll ever be there, but I really love and support the world so much.
Me too.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do drag.
Yeah.
I want to
be a writer. On Drag Race.
Oh.
I want to write for Drag Race.
Oh, you're so cute.
Universe, knock, knock.
Yeah.
Universe. We'll figure it out.
You're so funny.
We have to talk about just the lip sync. It was pretty fun lip sync. It was like, no one was bad.
No.
Latrilla went a little more. Well, I mean, Manila went a little, you thought it was too much?
Way too much. When Manila does the, like, the googly cross-eyed
the googly.
Thing, it's really, I mean, it's really cute, but, like, just give it to me once, twice tops, that's it. That's all I need. It was like at least a quarter of the performance where she was doing the whole googly face.
Yeah.
It was too much. It wasn't in sync with the song.
No.
You know?
It's that
thing. So that's what sent her home, I believe.
Yeah.
If I was sitting on that judges panel and I saw that, even with the performance, even with the runway look, when it comes down to, you're lip syncing for your life, honey. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it's coming down to in this moment. And did you deliver?
You don't buy it.
She didn't. And
it's a campy choice.
Yeah, it kills me to say it because Manila's one of my favorites.
Oh, she's a gag.
Speaking of camp, I mean, really, truly, Latrice she delivered. Manila's the master of camp. Latrice delivered it for the first time as like the black divine.
Agreed.
And it was incredible. Even though I read her for her makeup just a few minutes ago, like Janice did as well.
Right.
A little bit too pale. She looked sickening. And did I get divine when she walked down that runway? Yes, child. Mm-hmm. I absolutely did. She was the queen of camp. So good.
Damn,
Latrilla.
This was a terrible week. I mean, like, this was just a terrible week for them because it's like someone great's going to go home.
It's heartbreaking, and I love it so much when Rue does the Wizard of Oz quotes. What did he say to them? Like, talked about like the courage and the heart, like the lion and the Tin Man. Like, I think I'll miss you most of all.
I'll miss you most of all. Yeah, damn it.
Oh,
those Oz quotes that are hiding in there are really gaggy.
That was real. I felt that because I'm going to miss them most of all as well.
I know, but I love it. Once again, like now, in the interest of Star Wars prequels, we got them back.
All Stars 4, honey.
And what I like about it is like it adds this like different layer to it. So even if people haven't seen, they should go watch this season because it just kind of like adds something to like the texture of their moment in All Stars 4.
I love that no season of All Stars has been the same. You know, there's always been a different gag the producers have come up with, and it's always been better and bigger and splashier. And it's fascinating. They're brilliant. They're so fucking good at their jobs.
I'm excited.
The producers on this show. Yeah, me too.
I'm excited for it to evolve. I'll be there every damn season. I don't care.
Me too.
I know everyone's like, oh, we're getting too much of it.
No, no, no. I'm here for it.
It's pizza, you idiot.
Exactly.
It's pizza's here. We had pizza yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pizza.
Try living without it, bitches. What you gonna be saying when they finally decide to wrap that shit up and go off the air? You won't be complaining then.
No, you won't.
Oh, it's too much.
I have one more tiny stupid segment I want to do with you because you are an Oscar winner in my heart. You are in
I want to choke to death right now. I just took a sip of water. That was everything. I'm like, I
did?
I have an Oscar?
In my heart.
I do? Thank you. That's really sweet of you.
You're amazing. And
thank you,
I want
amazing.
To use your acting chops for something really selfish.
Sure.
On this document, I wrote down a few Tammy Brown lines.
Ooh, bitch.
And this is a new segment I'm calling, And the Award Gags Too.
Oh, my God. This is...
A.K.A. Oscar-winning Homint. And there's a couple of Tammy lines there. I just want you to deliver one or two or three like you are in a tense-ass scene in a dramatic show like Unreal or American Horror Story.
Oh, my God.
Can you give me a cold read on any of these iconic Tammy Brown lines?
Yes, this is so unfair. I mean, I'm kicking myself right now because I only watched season one, episode three of All Stars. I should have watched earlier episodes so I could have brushed up on my
Well,
Tammy
these
Brown-ness.
Words are yours.
All right.
You don't have to say them like them. You just have to say
I'm on a team with the black girls. I love that so much.
Here we go. Next Oscar winning moment.
Sexy orangutan, shake it and do your thing. I love it.
And one more Oscar winning moment.
I cured my grandmother.
Yes.
These are good.
They're good.
Oh my God. No, I need to read this one just for the
Please,
sake of reading
go
it.
For
I'm just,
it.
I'm just going to read it cold. Latrice, if you want to walk around this room butt naked eating shrimps, that's your business. That must have been in the talking head moment. We're doing an interview. There's no way she said that.
No, she said it in the workroom.
She said it to her face.
She says it to her face.
Reality TV was so much better before social media.
I know.
Before, when bitches would just read a bitch to their faces. When they would just say
crazy.
Whatever the fuck they wanted to say.
Cuckoo, ka-choo.
Without knowing that their fans were going to come for them. Oh, it was so
JBC,
refreshing.
JBC, I love you. I really cherish you.
I adore you.
I'm gobsmacked that you're even here.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Before I let you go, what can we plug? What JBC stuff can we plug?
Ooh, honey. Can we
What can we plug?
What can we not plug? What can we not plug around here? You didn't even buy me.
What can we peg and what can we dock?
I do have a couple things coming up, and a couple of them I cannot talk about because they are that exciting and extraordinary, and you will be gagged, children. The ones I can talk about, I have a movie coming out on Netflix starring myself and Christina Milian and Adam Demos called Falling in Love that comes out August 29th, I think.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, we just shot that a few months ago in New Zealand.
Amazing.
It's so much fun. And then I have another movie coming out that I'm starring in called Spiral, which is a psychological thriller, and it's premiering at Fright Fest in London.
Amazing.
In September. Yeah,
amazing.
And then I'm sure we'll do the festival circuit over here in North America.
And then
keep your eyes peeled for a couple other things here and there. And then my podcast as well. So I'm getting back in production for season 2 of my podcast, JBC Presents Conversations with Others.
Oh, there are some juicy conversations in there. Please check the backlog, honey. There's some amazing stuff there. We're so glad you could come.
Thanks, love.
JBC, thank you so much for coming.
The pleasure was mine.
We love you. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Spill a red to throw some shade. Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.